Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Welcome aboard here. Rye Wilson covers the National Football League for CBS Sports. A friend of the show has been on before. Ryan, good morning, brother. How are you?
What's up, man?
Good morning, guys. How's it going?
Do well, Ryan. Do well. Too intriguing. I think Taz and I both were in agreement going into the postseason. A lot of people were wide open, especially when you looked at the AFC and you've got the two top seeds sitting there in both respective conferences. And I think they're probably the four best teams that are left standing in the National Football League that we're going to see on Sunday.
Absolutely, and I'm quite certain that the NFL is happy how this is turning out. I'm sure there was some trepidation that the Bears or the Ravens, can you imagine the Bears-Ravens Super Bowl? I think that would be a lot of fun to watch from a defensive standpoint. But in terms of the NFL and ratings and what the Super Bowl means, that was probably less attractive to them. And we have teams that can drop 50 points in a football game, playing each other, and two of those teams are going to end up in the Super Bowl. So I think the NFL is extremely excited about it, and I think the fans are excited about it. Now becomes the question, are we going to have to endure another 2 weeks of the Patriots and their Super Bowl glory, or is this going to be the time that Andy Reid finally gets over the hump and perhaps even wins his first Super Bowl?
Well, Ryan, speaking of the Patriots, so I got to ask you, man, like, where do you think this comes from, this us against the world mentality? We heard Brady talk about that, you know, where they felt like everybody thought they stunk, you know, to motivate them. I mean, you think it's something that's growing in the locker room, or if it's some noise up there in Boston from the media? Where do you think it comes from?
I think it's been one of the things they've hung their hat on for the entire Bill Belichick era. I mean, don't forget, Rodney Harrison used to give these speeches back in the early 2000s about how it's us against the world, no one respects us, and we're sitting there watching these teams win Super Bowl after Super Bowl, win AFC Championship after AFC. Now, what are you talking about, Rodney?
It's annoying. Yeah, I know.
And it's just a matter of him, a self-motivating thing, and I'm sure Belichick feeds into it, and I'm sure they have been doing it forever, quote-unquote bulletin board material and whatever it has. Yeah, I don't know what Tom Brady was talking about after that game. The man's 41 years old. He's playing like a Hall of Famer. And he gets accolades each and every week because he deserves them. They didn't play well the last month or so of the season. They had a rough stretch, and they're still exactly where everyone expected them to be. And now the question is, what can the Chiefs do about it?
Yeah, and that's my next question for you, Ryan, is everybody after that one game says, the Pats are back. I know more people now that like New England on the road in Kansas City than like New England at home against Los Angeles. So my question is, what do you believe in more, what the Chiefs showed you defensively against Indianapolis? Because they certainly bowed their back and met the challenge. Or do you believe the Pats have turned a corner here with their performance against L.A.?
You know what? I think it's hard to say because I don't trust that Chiefs defense. They absolutely dominated the Colts. I don't know where that came from. If they can do that 2 weeks in a row, excellent. And on the other side of the ball, the Chargers had to play with 6 and 7 defensive backs. They have injuries at linebacker. That worked against Lamar Jackson. But what the Patriots did, they ran old-school, up-the-middle, I-formation football, and the Chargers couldn't stop it. So I feel like if the Patriots do that again, and they almost certainly won't, the Chiefs can stop it. But also, I mean, Bill Belichick has time to scheme up against Patrick Mahomes. They obviously beat them back earlier in the season in October in New England. That game was close. Mahomes got off to a slow start, but then got hot at the end. He didn't get off to a slow start last week, and that was a concern. That was the stage going to be big, too big for him, and might he need a little time to adjust? He didn't. He didn't throw a touchdown pass, so people were acting like he was, playing like Alex Smith at his worst. He was not, and I think Mahomes isn't going to be concerned about facing the Patriots again. The weather isn't going to concern him. He's going to do the same things he's been able to do, and I think if the defense is just average, you can stop that. I mean, look, the Steelers beat the Patriots, so it's not like this team is suddenly a juggernaut again. They were just running the ball really successfully against a Chargers team that couldn't stop it. And I feel like they're going to have to do a lot more interesting things, a lot more dynamic things in order to go into Kansas City, where it's tough to play number one, and beat the Chiefs, where it's going to be 5 degrees or something.
Right. And, Ryan, it's funny you said that about Belichick with Mahomes, because I've been saying that. Moose and I would talk about that, too. Like, that's the thing, I really feel it's Mahomes against Belichick, where Belichick's cooking up in his laboratory defensively to stop this kid that's just unbelievable. So I want to ask you this, though. Let's say the Chiefs win the game, and let's say Mahomes plays awesome and his numbers are just better than Tom Brady's. Is it like a passing of the torch type of deal that we might see in Arrowhead on Sunday?
Yeah, no, I think that's fair to say. Patrick Mahomes is the MVP. Drew Brees sort of played his way out of that conversation, even though he's never won it. And Tom Brady is not in the MVP conversation right now. I mean, we could see a situation where he wins the Super Bowl MVP. That wouldn't surprise anyone. But right now, yeah, he's 41. Patrick Mahomes is 22 or 23 or whatever he is. Two decades difference between them. And Mahomes is the way the NFL quarterback position is going. Baker Mayfield, Lamar Jackson. We've seen these guys. Even Russell Wilson sort of got things going back in 2012. And Mahomes is sort of the latest, greatest version of that. And I think it makes perfect sense to say if he comes out and balls out against Bill Belichick, the genius, and Tom Brady, the first ballot Hall of Famer, absolutely, that's sort of the turning of the page. Just like when Peyton Manning retired, we were looking for that next quarterback, and that next quarterback is apparently Patrick Mahomes.
All right, when we look at this NFC Championship game, a rematch of a game that we saw in the regular season that went the Saints' way down in New Orleans, 45-35, over the Los Angeles Rams, early game on Sunday, Ryan. What do you think? Does anything change? What's the significant difference that you see how this game is played out on Sunday?
Here, I thought the Cowboys were going to win last week in Los Angeles, and here's why. I thought they were going to be able to stop Todd Gurley because the Cowboys have a fantastic run defense. I didn't count on C.J. Anderson showing up rolling through that defense like nobody's business, and they had no answers. And once you get the running game going, if you're Sean McVay, that's a wrap. The game's over because then you do these stretch concepts, and then you do the play action off that, and then even Jared Goff, when he's not at his best, can complete the passes. So job number one for Dennis Allen and the Saints is to slow up Todd Gurley. Luckily, you don't have to worry about Dak Prescott being your quarterback. You have Drew Brees and Michael Thomas and Alvin Kamara, so you can offset any sort of success that the Rams might have with your own offensive success. And I think if the Saints can just slow up Todd Gurley, you don't have to stop him. Jared Goff does not match up on paper with Drew Brees, so you win that one. And I think you're playing at home. It's incredibly tough place to play. The Eagles had a chance. They were up 14-0, and you could hear pin drop in there. But if the Saints come out early, get up by 3 or 7, I think that's it. Sean McVay's done a fantastic job, but I don't know if Jared Goff is up to the task of having to bring his team back from 10 points should it get to that.
Well, yeah, I think you're right, Ryan. You got to rely on the running game if you're the Rams. Now they got a two-headed monster like the Chiefs do at that running back spot. Could you imagine the Rams going into, as you said, a very tough, insanely tough place to play like the Superdome, and the Rams finding a way to be victorious in this game?
No, absolutely. I mean, don't forget, Moose, that every person that Sean McVay's ever talked to got a head coaching job this last few weeks, so he knows what he's doing. He's 32 years old, and everyone in that room, in that locker room, buys into exactly what he's telling them, and we're seeing it on the field. They were up and down towards the end of the season, but every team was, and I thought they showed something in last week's game, and I think that can certainly carry over. They're not going to be afraid to go in there. It's just a matter of whether their defense can stand up against the Saints. They need Marcus Peters to play better. He has not played well this year, whether it's injury or otherwise. And they obviously need Ndamukong Suh to keep dominating like he has been. We know about Aaron Donald. But if that happens and the running game gets going, takes pressure off Jared Goff, he can complete the easy 15 to 20-yard passes, and they can get rolling. And we've also seen the Saints team not show up. In the last few weeks of the NFL season, Drew Brees did not look like Drew Brees.
No.
So if they get that guy, maybe they're onto something. But I just feel like at home, New Orleans is going to be the favorite.
Yeah, they are. You give the Rams or the Pats the better chance of winning on the road?
Patriots, just because you can't sleep on those two old people. They got running things over there.
No, I can understand it. I want to ask you a couple offseason questions here, Ryan. You look at all these hirings that we've seen across the National Football League. Which team do you love what they've done this offseason in terms of the direction and the new hire?
So the Vic Fangio thing is kind of is interesting to me. He's a defensive guy, and John always talked forever about offense, so that puzzles me. But I like what the Bucs have done and with Bruce Arians. Bruce Arians is not fooling around. He's all in on Jameis Winston. He's not going back and forth about whether he's his quarterback. He has done a fantastic job cultivating quarterbacks, especially in the downfield passing game. And I think that things could turn around there really quickly, so that could be fun to watch. I love what the Browns are doing. The Browns are the best team in the AFC North right now. I don't know what year this is, but that's exactly the truth. Freddie Kitchens gave that press conference, and he was not joking around.
No, he owned it.
Jackson press type of press conference. He said 7-8-1 is not okay. Freddie Kitchens and Baker Mayfield are tight, which was clearly evident by the way they finished that season when he was promoted to offensive coordinator. And I think that team is going to be a lot of fun to watch. I'm sure you guys have been talking about Adam Gase and his crazy eyes. So
yes,
I thought maybe Adam
Gase
thought he got the Packers job, and then he rolled into the press conference. It's like, wait a second, I'm in New York?
Yeah,
he was bummed out about that.
Yeah, well, it was just you start to get to a point where it's like you're kicking a guy with the man down. But I mean, it was just such an awkward look and a strange 19-minute presser. There was no. You mentioned Kitchens, Air. All these other introductory press conferences,
they were normal.
You're fired up.
They were normal.
I mean, you're watching, you're excited about the hire.
Yeah. Ryan, did you see the taco thing? Did you see it?
Yeah, that was fantastic. That's the only explanation for why he was acting that way. He saw taco floating around.
Yeah, right. But the Jets presser, it was almost like they were leaving a morgue. it was like a very, very strange scene and vibe around the Jets with that hiring.
The best thing Adam Gase could say is that it was only the second worst press conference in introductory coaching history for the Jets after Bill Belichick resigned 12 seconds after he was up there looking super uncomfortable. I don't know what Adam Gase was doing. Adam Gase, I'm sure, has no explanation for it, but I appreciate the comic relief for a team that, good Lord, they need something good to go right for them.
No, they do. They do. You think that works in New York with the Jets?
I like Adam Gase. I think he's done some good things with quarterbacks. I think that's good news for Sam Darnold. I just don't know what was going on. When he had to put on a suit and tie, he just sort of lost his mind.
No, he did a little bit there. But I'm curious about Rhule here, I heard that Rhule was there at the top of that list. They had an issue with the staff. He went back to Baylor. He wanted to do it his way when he goes into and leaves college to go to the National Football League, former assistant for Tom Coughlin, offensive line coach with the Giants. You know, you look at Matt Rhule, is that going to be the next guy you think that teams, NFL teams are going to be targeting when they look at the college ranks?
No, that's right. He'll be up there. And I think you're right, because it is weird. It wasn't like they were just talking for a few weeks. Apparently the Jets and Rhule have been talking for some time. So the fact that the hang-up was that he wanted to bring his staff, which wasn't necessarily NFL experience, that I can't imagine cropped up in the 11th hour. So, you know, another issue, what appears to be an issue of mismanagement by the Jets. If they wanted Rhule, I think you go out and get him. I don't necessarily think you need to have all NFL assistants on there. I'm guessing that Todd Bowles had a lot of NFL assistants on his staff, and that team obviously wasn't very good.
No.
But that's right. Young guys, I think Rhule's in his early 40s. Young guys and guys with ties to Sean McVay are the top of the list for head coaching jobs, it appears like. And, yeah, he'll definitely be that guy, because he was – certainly the favorite in New York. New York wanted him, and then when they couldn't get him, they got Adam Gase, which I think is a very good consolation prize, especially if you're interested in developing Sam Darnold.
Hey, Ryan, they certainly are in doing that. We certainly appreciate the time this morning. We do. Enjoy the games this weekend, and we'll chat again soon.
Thanks,
all right,
Ryan.
Thank you, guys.
Appreciate it, man.
You got it. Ryan Wilson.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.